KQED.
This is the California Report. Good morning. I'm John Sepulveda. We begin with a map of California that is in front of me. It's from Cal Fire, and it shows 24 fires burning in this state. That's 10 more than last week. One of those fires, the Detweiler, has already burned 25,000 acres. Meanwhile, some 5,000 people have been evacuated. That includes most people in Mariposa, home to 70-year-old Ocean Jones.
It's pretty daunting that when I look out the window past my deck, all I can see is smoke.
Jones is not evacuated yet, but is ready to go. Cal Fire spokesperson Amy Head says this is an aggressive fire. 8 structures have been destroyed. Another 1,500 are threatened. CSU faculty union leaders are demanding the university do more to protect the academic freedom of its professors. Anna Tentakulis reports.
Eric Kanan teaches anthropology at Cal State Fullerton, and back in February, he took part in a rally against President Trump's policies. The College Republicans, a student group on campus, staged a counter-demonstration where some altercations broke out. And that's when Kanan was accused of striking a student. The university later fired him. But now, an independent mediator has concluded the professor did no wrong and has ordered Fullerton to reinstate him. Jennifer Egan, president of CSU's faculty union, told the system's board of trustees yesterday they and campus presidents need to stand by their professors.
We need you to wake up and realize that there are forces mobilizing not just against the faculty, but also against truth, learning, and the very principles of the university.
The trustees listened to her testimony but made no policy promises. The case at Fullerton is one of the more recent free speech controversies where a college has distanced itself from one of its professors because they've been targeted by conservative groups. For the California Report, I'm Anna Tentakulis.
State lawmakers are taking a summer recess this week, but Governor Jerry Brown and Democratic leaders say they're going to look at the housing crisis when they return. From KQED's California Politics and Government Desk, Guy Marzorati reports.
Housing has been a top priority for liberal Democrats, including many who were on the fence about the cap-and-trade deal. Brown said momentum on housing was key in advancing his cap-and-trade plan.
That played a very important role. We're committed to doing some serious work on affordable housing, and we'll get it done.
Oakland Assemblyman Rob Bonta says it was important to get a commitment from the governor that housing would be next.
As we started moving towards a finality on cap and trade, and knowing that would be behind us and that we'd have an opportunity to move to the next big priority, we wanted to make sure that that was housing.
When lawmakers return in August, they'll aim to address housing through a new state bond measure, a permanent source of housing funding, possibly a tax on some real estate documents, and the streamlining of rules to make it easier to develop locally. For the California Report, I'm Guy Marzorati in Sacramento.
California regulators voted unanimously yesterday to impose a strict limit on a toxic chemical that's found in drinking water. As Stephanie O'Neill reports, the toxin was included in a pesticide that was applied all over the Central Valley for years.
It's just after 7:30 one recent evening as Celerina Chavez finishes the supper dishes in the Kern County home she shares with her husband. This after-dinner scene is pretty ordinary, except for the water flowing from the kitchen faucet. Here in the small city of Arvin near Bakersfield, tap water is tainted with 1,2,3 trichloropropane, or TCP. It's a man-made chemical that California has identified as a carcinogen. Bill Walker is with EWG, the Environmental Working Group.
We know from state scientists that TCP is one of the most dangerous substances ever detected in California drinking water.
TCP was an ingredient in a pesticide sold by Shell Oil and Dow Chemical for decades until the 1980s. Now the Chavez's say they're worried about their health and that of their two college-aged daughters.
I had my little children, and I would turn on the faucet to give them that water. I didn't know it was contaminated.
The Chavez's traveled several times to Sacramento to demand the state regulate TCP, and now that work has finally paid off. The State Water Board set a limit, 5 parts per trillion, the lowest level that existing filtration systems can reliably detect and remove. Without such treatment, TCP doesn't go away.
It is extremely persistent.
Todd Robbins is a San Francisco attorney representing more than 2 dozen California water suppliers. They're suing Shell and Dow for the cost of cleanup.
PCP lasts in the ground and in the groundwater for literally centuries.
California regulators discovered TCP contamination about two decades ago, according to the EWG. Bill Walker says first they found it in some waste sites in L.A. County, close to where the aerospace industry once used it as an industrial solvent.
After it was discovered there, the state decided to do statewide testing and discovered that contamination was actually worse in farming areas, including the Central Valley.
Farmers there use the pesticide to kill tiny soil-dwelling worms that attack the roots of plants, causing millions of dollars in crop losses. But according to the lawsuits Robbins has filed, both Shell and Dow knew early on that TCP was not the active ingredient. It was actually a different chemical that killed the worms. And yet, he says, they kept putting TCP in their pesticides just to get rid of it.
Rather than spending money to dispose of this chemical waste, they could put it in barrels and sell it to farmers and have farmers dispose of the chemical waste in soil on farm fields all around the United States.
Shell and Dow wouldn't comment on that, citing the lawsuits. Statewide, about a million Californians get water known to contain TCP at levels higher than the new limit. But soon, more people may learn their water is contaminated. In January, all public water agencies statewide must start testing for TCP. For the California Report, I'm Stephanie O'Neill.
Support for the California Report comes from PaintCare. Now with more than 800 drop-off sites in California, where households and businesses can recycle their leftover paint. More at paintcare.org. Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose family foundation advances the wiser use of energy and natural resources on a planet where everything is connected. On the web at theschmidt.org. And the James Irvine Foundation, expanding economic and political opportunity for Californians who are working but struggling with poverty. More at Irvine.org.
We started the show talking about the Cal Fire map. It's really informative and gives you a sense of just how expensive and expansive these fires are. You can find it on my Twitter page. I'm at JohnLGC. That's been the California Report for Wednesday, July 19th, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm John Sepulveda. Have a great day.